welcome again, everybody. Merry Christmas again. It's great to be with you on this awesome, wonderful night. Over the last 4 weeks in our parish, we've been talking about how God's light can break through even our darkest moments, how God does his best work in the dark. In the first week of our series that we called Miracles at Midnight, we said that when you can't see the light, it looks like midnight wherever you look, you just have to keep moving forward in the dark, to live like it's already morning, like the dawn has already arrived, and wait for your inflection point, that moment when God begins to turn everything around for the better, because that's what he does. In the second week of the series, we talked about making room for God's light, making room for God's light by clearing out the clutter of anger, bitterness, guilt, shame, mistakes, judgment, all those things, and getting your heart ready for what God wants to do next in your life. And in week three, we said that you also have to look for the light. No matter how deep the darkness seems, always, always look for the light. Believe that the miracle is on the way, even when you can't see it. And then last week, we learned to trust the light. Sometimes the darkness can feel safer, more comfortable, because it hides what we don't want to face, the things we're ashamed of. Now tonight, on this most holy night, in the final episode of this series, I want to talk with you about the sound of light. The sound of light. At the dawn of creation, before anything existed, the scriptures say that darkness covered the abyss, while a mighty wind swept over the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God separated light from darkness, and the universe came into existence. The world was formed, time and space began. What's interesting is that for centuries, scholars and saints have said that God didn't just speak those words, "Let there be light," he actually sang them. The whole creation story sounds like a hymn, like verses of a song. Job chapter 38 says that the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy at the moment of creation. It was like cosmic music, and all the angels in the heavenly choirs sang in unison, praising God. Centuries ago, Saint Basil wrote that God's word was a melody that brought all things into order. Saint Augustine said that creation was like a great song of beauty and proportion. Jewish mystics compare God's creative words with musical vibrations. See, God didn't just utter a command, a monotone instruction. His voice rang over the dark abyss, sounded through the shadowy void, the murky waters, the formless wasteland, and then stars were flung into space, and planets and moons found their orbits, and the world was formed, the earth was formed, and life began, and it all started with a song, the sound of light. Music has the power to heal. You know, the power to console and comfort and inspire hope even in the dark. Many pregnant mothers, for instance, play Mozart to their babies growing in the darkness of their wombs. Parents so often comfort their crying children with a song. Music therapy in hospitals and clinics reduces stress and anxiety among patients and fosters healing. Music has power, the power to bring light. When I was in my late 20s, just a few years ago, they laughed at the 3 o'clock as well. I don't get it. But anyway, yes, it felt like a few years ago. I moved to Los Angeles for graduate studies at the University of Southern California. The program started in the fall, but I arrived in early June. You know, I just wanted to rent a place and, you know, get my affairs in order, get things ready, and be prepared. What I didn't anticipate is how lonely I would feel over that summer. See, I didn't know anybody in the area, and I'm kind of shy and reserved. I'm not good at striking up a conversation with strangers, so I was pretty much alone that whole summer, and I started feeling isolated and became more and more depressed as the weeks went by. Before I moved, I was taking music lessons in Atlanta, where I moved from, and I was studying opera, how to sing opera. And my music teacher told me that the three greatest living tenors of all time were performing that summer at Dodgers Stadium. So I splurged and I bought a front row ticket. And I'll never forget the moment when Luciano Pavarotti, if you've never heard Pavarotti, you've got to go home and YouTube it, when Luciano Pavarotti stepped onto that stage and sang my absolute favorite aria, a song from an opera called Turandot, and the name of the aria was Nessun Dorma, which means none shall sleep. In the story, a young, handsome prince was vying for the hand of a cold, heartless princess at great risk to his own life. And in the middle of a dark, lonely night, the prince cried out, "Vanish, O night! At dawn, I will win. Vincerò, vincerò," he kept singing. "I will win, I will win, I will have the victory." And as I heard Pavarotti sing that melodic line, especially the high C note at the very end of that, my heart soared again. The music and the sound restored my hope, and light flooded my soul. The midnight hour was gone for me. Maybe you're in a dark place right now. You feel lost, lonely, forgotten about, or maybe just things haven't worked out this year like you expected. But don't give up. Don't lose hope. It might seem like the music has stopped and you're left without a chair, but tonight is Christmas. Believe and trust in the miracle of Christmas. The music will start again for you. You just have to listen for the sound of light. In today's first reading, the prophet Isaiah was trying to encourage his people. They were in a midnight hour, a time of great darkness. A big, powerful empire to the north called Assyria was breathing murderous threats to destroy the Israelites, eliminate, wipe out their nation, their culture, their religion. But Isaiah painted a bright picture, said that the people who walked in gloom, who walked in darkness, have seen a great light, and upon those who dwelt in a land of gloom, a light has shone. A light has shone. Isaiah was saying, he was promising that the yoke of foreign domination would soon be broken. And he predicted a time of peace when a great king, a Messiah, a Savior would be sent from God. And he went on to say, "For a child is born to us, a son is given us. Upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace." And this great king to come would rule over a nation of peace and justice. But do you know what? The people, they just kept walking in darkness. They didn't trust God in that situation. Turned away from the light. And so those Assyrians came down in a rampage and destroyed everything. And centuries later, the Babylonians did the same thing. And then the Greeks, the Seleucids, and the Roman Empire finally occupying the land during the time of Jesus. It was one foreign domination after the other. But the worst part of it, the absolute worst part, was the silence. The silence. For 400 years, there had been no prophet, no sign, not a single word from God, nothing to encourage the people, and the silence was deafening. But then, as we heard in the gospel, Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, he called a census to be taken. And everyone had to travel to their hometowns to be enrolled. And a young couple named Mary and Joseph, you probably heard of them. Mary and Joseph went to a little town called Bethlehem because that's where Joseph was from. And while they were there, the time came for her, Mary, to have her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room for them in the inn. What's interesting is that this didn't happen in the morning, at noon, in the early evening, or late in the afternoon, but at night, when darkness had fallen across the land, when shepherds were watching their flocks, their night watch over their flocks, and suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord." And for centuries, the Christian tradition has believed that this actually happened precisely at the midnight hour. Why? Because scientifically, the midnight hour is the darkest part of the night, the perfect time for the light of Christ to break through into our darkened world. The perfect time. God's light broke into our world and gave us light. Scripture puts it this way. This reading from the book of wisdom in the Old Testament is so beautiful. It says, "For when peaceful stillness encompassed everything, the night in its swift course, when it was half spent, the all-powerful word from heaven's royal throne leapt into the doomed land." When Christ was born, it was truly a miracle at midnight. But that angel didn't just bring light, but also sound, joyful noise, angelic voices ringing down from heaven. The passage says, "And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" And for those shepherds in that moment, it was like music to their ears, because the long silence had finally been broken. That chorus of angels was nothing less than the sound of light bringing hope, joy, and peace into our world. And it sounded just like this. That's as close to angelic as I've ever heard. But you know, 15 years ago, 33 miners, you know, worked in the mines. They descended into a dark pit every day, just like they'd always done, going to work. But on this day, the earth suddenly shifted, and the mine collapsed, and all those men were trapped almost half a mile underneath ground, were plunged into utter darkness. No one knew for more than 2 weeks, no one knew if they were even alive. Rescuers worked around the clock to try to find those lost miners, but it looked like that kind of moment where the night wins and the darkness gets the last word. This is what Paul and Silas felt like in the scripture, in the book of Acts, when 2,000 years ago, they were just out preaching the gospel of Christ, and then they were arrested for no good reason, thrown into prison and chained in the deepest, darkest part of a Roman jail. It was cold, it was dark, but worst of all, it was silent. And so do you know what they did? They started singing hymns to God, singing in the midnight hour. And at the midnight hour, the earth suddenly shook, the scripture says, and doors flew open, the chains fell from their wrists, and they were free. It was a miracle at midnight. And the same thing happened to those miners, trapped far beneath the surface of the earth. They never gave up. 17 days later, rescuers finally broke through, and do you know what they heard? Singing. They heard singing. Those miners, they were exhausted. They were starving. They were deep, buried deep in the earth, but they were singing. They didn't know if they were going to live or die, but they lifted their voices in song. It was the sound of light, and from that moment on, the rescuers worked at a furious pace. It was broadcast on television, you might remember, the whole world watching, over 1 billion people rooting for those men, singing along with them, waiting for the light to come together. And 69 days after their ordeal began, every one of those miners stepped out of the bowels of the earth and into the light. And into the light. Like Paul and Silas, they sang in their midnight hour. They sang in the dark. They sang when there was no sign of hope. They sang when they didn't know how their story would end. I wonder whether some of you are going through a midnight hour right now. Trouble at home, at work, or school, or in your finances, a medical problem, a struggle with addiction, depression, anxiety, a long night of the soul. Whatever it is, friends, tonight is Christmas, the most holy night of the year, the night when the light of the human race finally broke through our darkness and shines in our darkened world. So take hope and believe in the miracle of Christmas. In just a few moments after communion, we're all going to stand in the darkness with candles lit. Hopefully you got candles on the way in. With candles lit, and we're going to sing Silent Night together. And on the third verse, those musicians, the music will stop. The instruments will be silent. It will be up to you to carry us through the darkness with your singing. We sing tonight because tonight is the night when the whole world, bustling and busy, holds its breath in the dark, stops with awe and reverence, with great expectation for its Savior to come. Tonight is the night when we wait silently for the sound of light, the cry of a newborn babe.